Welcome to the Emily Osman Show, your place to learn how to market yourself online and build a business doing the work you love on your terms. Listen in for simple, doable strategies mixed with mindset tips and candid conversations with other entrepreneurs, all designed to help you turn your ideas into reality and share your passions with the world. Now, let's get into the show. It's tempting to want to share everything we know in our online course. And we can also equate quantity of content with the quality or perceived value of our course. But what is in fact more valuable than more information? Well, it's quicker results. And people do not want to buy a library of information. What they do want is the fastest route to the course's promised outcome. And so in this episode, we're exploring how to decide how much to include in your course and how doing this purposefully will accelerate your students' results. Now, before I get into this episode, I do encourage you, if you haven't already, you might like to go back and listen to the previous episode where I speak about the number one place to start when it comes to designing your online course. And this is around getting very clear on the promise and the problem that your course helps deliver on, the problem that it helps solve, and why doing this and getting as specific as possible will really help you sell more of your courses. And so today's episode is a really good follow-up, because by now, if you went ahead and implemented that episode, you've decided on the problem that your online course solves. And today we're going to take a look at, okay, now how do you turn that into your course content? So I like to look at this as creating a step-by-step process. And the process that you have inside of your course are really the steps that your students need to go through to solve their problem. Now, having this process organizes all of the knowledge that you have to share and helps to provide clarity for your students to know step-by-step how to work through your course to achieve the desired results. Now, when I talk about process, what this really becomes are the lessons or the modules for your course in a set order. Now, of course, some people can jump around here, but it's so helpful to let people know, let your students know, this is the roadmap that we're embarking on. This is the journey. And if you follow these steps, yes, you can jump ahead a little bit or whatever you'd like to do, but really these are designed to help you build that momentum and make progress. So how do you figure out what your step-by-step process should look like? Well, my recommendation here is by thinking about your students A to B. Now, A is their starting point, and this is where most of the students that are going to be starting at your course, the knowledge or skill level that they're at. And then the B is the knowledge or skill level or the result basically that they need to achieve by the end of it for your course to have delivered on the promise. Now, very importantly here, note that I said A to B, not A to Z. So you don't need to, and really you shouldn't attempt to try and teach every single thing that you know in your course. Stay focused on that one specific outcome that you want to help your students to achieve. Okay, so you've got the A to the B, and B is that outcome that you want them to have, the promise that you're delivering on, and the problem that you're helping to solve. Now, in between the A and the B here, I want you to think about those key steps that your students need to take to go from A to B. And once you do this, so you might actually like to get some sticky notes out. You might like to, if you have a Trello board, you can jot these down and move them around on the board to get them in the order. You might like to, whatever works for you, but figure out, okay, what do those steps look like in between? What do my students need to do or know? And once you do this, start shuffling them to get them into the order that makes the most sense. Now, often there are things that might be able to happen concurrently at the same time, things that might not matter too much if one's before the other, and you can let your students know this as well as you're guiding them through the content. But often there is a format or an order that makes the best sense for your steps for students to follow. Now, secondly, when it comes to this, so hopefully you're starting to think about, yeah, these are the steps that go in here, is to think about the actions that they need to take. And this is something that I'm pretty specific on when it comes to my online educational products, is getting really clear on, okay, what is the action that people need to take from here? Or what is that thing they need to implement? And this is really the difference as well between courses that are just information and are put together without really having that focus on getting people results, to courses that really help your students have that momentum, have that sense of progress, implement what you've taught them so that they then can have success. So after each of those steps, you're teaching them that thing they need to know, what action do they then need to take? So for instance, in, let's say, last week's episode, I went through looking at how to decide on the problem that your online course solves. And at the end, I said, right, it's over to you now. So it's time to make that decision. What is that problem that your course helps people to solve? And what is the outcome it delivers on? And so that's just an example that in my lessons, at the end of them, it's like, okay, here's your action task here. This is the thing you need to now decide or do. So I really encourage you to think about that for your course. And it's going to help you as well get really like pinpointed and specific on what you're teaching and why, so that you keep it to helping your students, remember how I said, get the quickest result possible and taking them there with just those things that they need to know or do. Now, a few tips here when it comes to creating your process is, number one, there was looking at, you can write them out somewhere and kind of just start organizing them around, removing things that are just the nice to have, and keep it really streamlined and just to the essentials here, so that when students join, everything that they're taking in and learning and watching or reading or listening to is designed to help them just get closer to their outcome. Now, another tip here is, if you're not sure, think about the milestones of your own learning on this topic. Think about what those key steps were that you had to take, or the key phases you went through, or the key milestones that really stand out to you when it comes to getting your own result in this area, because often we're teaching what we first had to learn. And then just a little other tip here, instead of step one, step two, step three, step four, whatever, you can give these creative names as well. So with your process, you might have some alliteration there, might have some fun with the names that you give those different things, but each of those steps are likely to now become your different modules, and within them, those individual lessons people have, or depending on the size of your course, you might just have, let's say, four lessons inside of your course that you take people through. So I hope that helps you when it comes to looking at, right, how much do I include, thinking about just looking to solve one problem here with your first course. Keep it simple. Keep it not overwhelming for yourself and your students. Keep it very, very clear, because remember, this could be just that first step into your business. And after this first online course, you may then have a membership or a higher level course or a program where you're perhaps coaching people or giving support. Or you might be leading people into your events or your retreats or your one-on-ones or whatever it looks like. But I do encourage you just to keep this really focused, really specific. It's going to allow you to create and launch it quicker, get it out there, get it tested, get your students' feedback. And from there, it's likely going to reveal the next steps that they need. So you can create a follow-up course, a follow-up program, whatever that looks like for your business. So it's over to you now. Your action task is to really figure out what perhaps those 3 to max 12, and that's quite a lot, steps do your students need to go through to solve their problem. List them out, and they now can become the focus for the lessons or the modules, depending on how much depth you need to go into within each for your online course. Now, to take this from theory into practice, I want to give you an example of how I'm implementing this into my new course and really how I'm looking at breaking this down into the step-by-step process. And this is something that is iterative, and you will tweak over time as you learn from your students. So they're going to learn from you, but also you're going to learn from them around how this plays out in practice, what's missing for them. And this is, again, why I talk about your first course launch isn't about getting the most number of people in there. It's really about learning from your students, asking them lots of questions, having that ability to take their feedback, take their insights, iterate, tweak where needed, and create the best version of your course that gets students results before then you relaunch it back out, being really confident and having also fantastic testimonials that it actually works. So I'm in my 30-day course launch, which is the working title for my new online course. The problem that it solves is just helping people who have some expertise, have some knowledge to share, to turn that into their first online course, to validate it, get it set up, and get it out there launched with their first round of students in 30 days. So how I've broken this down to the step-by-step process, I've really looked at the process I go through and I'm going through when it comes to courses I've launched in the past, the first time I launched my membership, the Modern Marketing Collective, and what I did there and what worked, and then taking the learnings that I've had over the years, help other people launch courses, other products that I've launched, and then how I'm my hypothesis as to what's going to work best with this launch that I'm doing as the first round for this course. So I've been mapping out, okay, what does this process look like? What are those key steps, those essential steps that people need to go through for this? And it's really, really helpful to frame it as the specific problem that it's people's first launch. I would recommend a different strategy if it's the next launch that they're doing or they already have that product that they then want to grow. So again, having that specificity helps you so much when it comes to developing the content in there because you're not trying to cater to everyone. So what this currently looks like is because I'm at the moment making it a 30-day or 1 month kind of outline and program to help people move through and just get to action and get results, is I've broken it down into actions to take per week. So this might work well for you as well. Each module of your course is like, hey, here's week one, here's week two, here's week three. So the first step that I took when it comes to my course, I encourage my students to take and that I'll be teaching in this course is the basically validating your idea. So before you go and create it and spend months creating all of the content that you're probably going to have to change in the future anyway, which is also, I hope, a good relief because you don't have to get it all really, really fancy to start with. Just need to get your first iteration there, take the students' feedback, and then you'll most likely tweak it anyway. So it's the week one pre-launch and validation. So getting your launch list happening, advertising to your audience, hey, this is coming, and seeing what the response is like from there, because then you can tweak your question, tweak your messaging to make sure that it's actually resonating with people and makes sense to them. Building up your wait list, again, kind of similar, building up that interest list and the launch list for your course to see where the interest is there. And then also surveying those people that are joining your list to ask them, what do you need? Where are you at right now? What does this need to solve for you? So that's where I'm at with the week one of my new course, the 30-day course launch. Then week two. So I wanted to start helping people, like actually building up and validating and getting insights from their audience before we really do anything else. And that continues throughout the whole 30 days, really, is building up that interest. So you have an audience to launch to and you're validating the offer as you go. So week two is then actually mapping out the course and making these key decisions like we're talking about in this episode. So looking at, right, what is that problem you're going to solve? Naming it, pricing it, creating a sales page, because this is what you're going to be able to do so much more easily and clearly as you followed from week one, is actually starting to get your audience feedback and insight as to what do they need, where are they at, what does this need to solve for them. So that's the order I've landed on so far. But again, this is subject to change. Once I have my, I'm doing interviews with my students on my course wait list to learn about them. And then this may change as they start going through the content and I build it out, learning what's working for them, what's missing. Then week number three. So we don't need to start creating it until about now. So we're going to look at, okay, getting your course set up in Kajabi, your payment setups, emails, pages if needed, all that type of thing. As we continue to build up your launch wait list, and learn about the people that are joining it around what they need and want. You can continue to finalize everything from week two, which is naming your course, pricing your course, all that type of thing. But just focusing on getting the infrastructure set up on Kajabi. And I've decided to, at this stage, make it focused on Kajabi because I want this to be super practical. And hopefully in this episode, I've helped communicate, I think, the the value of having courses that are super practical, having those action steps, having those actions to implement. I know when I've joined online programs or courses that I've maybe had some information, but it doesn't really tell you right now, go do this. And I really value that myself. I love to learn when people are like, right now, just go do this. Set this thing up, click this thing here. This is exactly how to do it. So I really want my course to be very, very much like, cool, here's just the steps you need to go do. Here's how to like get this set up. Don't have to try and figure it out yourself or keep wondering, here's what to do. And so the best way I can do that, I believe, is by focusing on a platform. And it's the one that I use and most of my students who already have courses use, and pretty much my friends and people that I know that are very successful online. We all quite like Kajabi. So anyway, teaching you through how to set that one up. And then week four of the course is then actually how to launch it. So this is the final stage of it. And you've, by that stage, got it set up, ready to go. You've got those people there that are waiting for it, and you've already learned about what they need. You've made all of those decisions. Then it's getting it out there, enrolling those first few students and building it out with them. So I just hope that like maybe was a little bit helpful to hear, right? What does this actually look like in terms of the step-by-steps? So if you would like some help when it comes to designing your course and figuring out like the pricing of it, the step-by-step process to go through, like we've covered in this episode, how to pinpoint the problem that it solves, the person that it's for, you can go ahead and get my free guide to help you with this and really to help you create a course that is designed in the best possible way to actually sell. Go to emilyosmond.com/free and you'll find the guide there. And there's also an accompanying email course as well, so that each day you'll just focus on one of those things to go ahead and implement. And then again, if you're interested in my new course, the 30-day course launch, to help you if you've like, yes, Emily, I want to have my course out there. It's just so overwhelming in terms of what order I do this in, how I get started, how I get it set up, how do I do the launch, how do I make sure people want to buy it, then this might be a really, really good fit for you. You can go to emilyosmond.com/launch-course and you can jump on the waitlist, or depending when this episode comes out, it may, or you listen to it, it may already be open for enrollment. That is it from me. I hope you have a lovely week. If you found this helpful, I would love to hear if you've got follow-up questions, etc. Feel free to reach out on Instagram at Emily Osmond, and I will chat with you really soon. Okay, bye. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of The Emily Osmond Show. I would so appreciate it if you could leave a review in Apple Podcasts. Simply scroll down past all the episodes to where you find ratings and reviews. Tap write a review and be sure to include your name or business name so I can give you a shout out too. You'll find my latest resources at emilyosmond.com/free. And remember, until next time, connection over perfection. You have got this, and we'll speak soon.